Okay, thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for this time that we have. Lord, I pray that in this message today you would speak to us as Americans. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us as Christian people. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here today that does not know you, that is not a Christian, Lord, doesn't matter the freedoms that we celebrate in this world that we have, Lord, if we don't have you, we don't have true freedom. And so, God, I pray that you would fill me this morning with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would put the wind in my sails. Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, that these would be your words. And Lord, that you would show us who we are to be and what we are to be as the people of God. And Lord, more than merely showing us, Lord, empower us to be those people. Empower us to be who you want us to be, that we might glorify your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. This summer, if you're visiting with us today for maybe the first time, we are studying the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus began to preach to the people, he started off and he just has 7 or 8, 9 verses here of blessings that he pronounces upon his hearers. And I'm just going to start off today. We're going to look in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 5, but I'm just going to read the first 4 verses to kind of set us into our context. And it says, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up onto the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then we come to today's verse, which says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What I want to talk to you today about is what meekness is. But I'm going to talk to you about what it is and what it is not. I'm going to talk to you about it backwards. And we're going to first look at what meekness is not. And then we are going to look at what a biblical definition of meekness is. And then lastly, we are going to see the reward for the meek, for those who are meek. So what meekness is not what? I guess that's the best way to put it. What is meekness not? Meekness is not weakness. You know, a lot of times we use the word meek and we think it means shy or bashful, afraid to say what is on our mind. But a biblical definition of meekness is not being weak. The quietest, most outwardly timid person, maybe in this room, could in fact be raging internally in anger against God and against other people. We may on the outside look very calm and very timid and very passive and don't want to give our opinions about things because maybe we're afraid we're going to get hurt. But maybe this morning inside of you, in spite of the fact that on the surface of your life, everything looks calm, you're actually furious at God. You're actually furious at other people. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is also not deferring to others in every situation. You're having a conversation with someone about Christianity versus other religions. And you say that, well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the only way to God. And that's what I believe. And the people that you're talking with say, that is a proud view. That is closed-minded. How can you say that Jesus is the only way? That is such a closed-minded view. I can't even respect you because of that. And maybe they start to shout you down and intimidate you and persecute you because you believe what the Bible says. Well, meekness is not then saying to that person, well, maybe you're right. Yeah, well, this is just what I believe. Maybe you're right. And you go along to get along. Meekness is not laying down your convictions just to get along with other people. That is not what a biblical definition of meekness is. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Listen to what God says in Isaiah chapter 51. We've studied these verses before. You don't need to turn there. I just want to read them to you. But this is what God says. You know, we talk about, the Bible says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And we think of people that are just really outspoken and real forward type people. And sometimes we don't like those type of people because they're too aggressive. But listen to what God has to say to those maybe of us in this room who are 180 degrees the opposite direction, who are very timid and bashful and shy, who are deferring to other people. God says this. He says, I am He who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of a man who dies? Or the son of man who is made like grass, and you have forgotten the Lord your Maker? God, in fact, in this verse is saying, who do you think you are that you're afraid of a man that dies? You have no merit with me being meek. Or being timid and being shy and bashful. You know, you have no merit with me deferring to other people and saying, well, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe the Bible isn't true. No, God is saying to those who are bashful and shy and timid and afraid to speak their minds, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you can be so bashful and shy? Don't you know who I am? You profess to know me. You profess to know the Creator of the ends of the earth. Who do you think you are that you're going to defer to someone else because they differ from you? No, meekness is not weakness. Part of America's problem today, and part of the church's problem today, is God's people act like a bunch of sissies. We act like a bunch of sissies in the public square when it comes to matters of faith and morality. Churches and church members will fight with one another over things that are worthless and stupid, and they live careless lives. We care nothing about personal holiness. We'll hold grudges with one another because of something someone said to us. We'll sleep around. We'll live just like the world. And we give little regard to the Word of God and God's commands to us as His people. And we're afraid to stand up for the truth. And the reason we're afraid to stand up for the truth is because we are in bed with the world. We're living just like the world is. We have made peace with sin. And you live with your sin as a professing Christian. And you say, I can't change. This is just the way that God has made me. And you make peace with your sin. Well, let me ask you this question. Church member, are you saved? Have you been born again so that your mind has changed in regards to sin? You no longer love sin, now you hate it. You no longer are at peace with sin, but there is a storm raging in your soul. And you hate what you're doing. Have you had a change in your affections about sin, or have you merely walked an aisle, prayed a prayer, maybe been baptized, and you pay lip service to God, but you still do not want to come underneath His Lordship? Did you know that the Bible never says anything about Jesus being your Savior and not being your Lord? The Bible tells us that Jesus must be your Savior and your Lord. You must come under His Lordship. You must renounce sin. You must hate sin enough to put it away and walk the opposite direction. Have you ever, church member, come to the place in your life where you have renounced your sinful ways? You don't make excuses for it. You have turned from your sin and you are walking towards Christ. If you have never come to the place in your life where you have renounced sin and have turned from sin, repented from sin, if you have never gotten to that place in your life and you still love sin and you coddle it and you want to keep it and you don't want anybody telling you you're wrong, you're not saved. A saved person is someone who has been literally born from above. You are born of the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of God comes in and takes up residence in your heart, you might still struggle with sin. I still struggle with sin and against sin to this day, but I am never at peace with my sin. I am never just saying, well, this is the way God has made me, and I'm just going to live like this, and you just need to accept me for the way that I am. No, there is a storm going on in my heart, and there might be a laying down of that sin and pursuing Christ, and then an hour later, I find myself doing the same thing, and I lay it down, and I go to Christ. What salvation is about is turning from your sin again and 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 hating it and crying out to God and saying, change me, God. Change me from this man that I am. Make me to be the man you want me to be. It is never, I just love my boyfriend or my girlfriend so much and we just cannot keep our hands off each other. We're going to sleep together because that's just the way God has made us. This is a blessing to us from God. No, it's not. It's sin, and you need to turn from it. It is never okay to sin against the mandates of the Bible or against your conscience. And sin and the fight with sin is a lifelong battle. You may be a naturally timid person today. You may be bashful. You may be afraid to stand up for what you believe to be true. Pray to God, God, deliver me from this. Give me the backbone to be willing to stand up for you. Help me to do what you want me to do. Make me into the person you want me to be. It is never right to justify your sin. And so, church member, maybe today, are you saved? Have you been born from above? Because Jesus says this in John 14, 21. He says, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. It's not whoever has my commandments, he is the one who loves me. It is whoever has my commandments and obeys them. Do you have a desire today to be obedient to Jesus Christ? Though you may struggle, you say, God, I want to obey you. I'm struggling, but I want to be obeying you. Will you help me? There's hope for that person. But for the person that says, no, God's made me homosexual with homosexual desires. This is a gift from God. I'm not going to change. God has given me whatever thing in the Bible that is referred to as sin, and you try to justify as being a gift from God, and you say, I'm not going to give that up, you're not a saved person. You're not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Vance Havner was a pastor in the last century, and he made this comment. He was a man known for coming up with all these different kinds of sayings. And he said, too many church members are starched and ironed, but not washed. You get that? Too many members are starched and ironed. We look the part, but we've not been washed in the blood of Jesus. Our sins have not been washed away. We look really good on the outside. The Pharisees looked really good on the outside, and Jesus was taking them to task all the time. Too many church members are starched and ironed, but not washed. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not making peace with your weakness. Meekness is not going along to get along. Well, what is meekness? Here's a biblical definition of what meekness is, and then we'll go on to explain it. Biblical meekness refers to exercising God's strength under His control. Biblical meekness refers to exercising God's strength under God's control. That's what lordship is. That's what Jesus being the Lord of your life is exercising His strength under His control. The meek is the one who is under the reign of the Holy Spirit, who is submitted to God and to His will. And I'll give you one biblical example of this. I could give you more, but I just want to spend a few minutes on this one. The most meek person that has ever lived on the face of the earth is Jesus Christ. He is the meekest person who has ever lived. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. First verse I've preached before. He says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says this in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am gentle. He is saying literally, I am meek and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus was the meekest person that ever lived. He was always under God's strength. But listen to what Jesus says to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verses 25. It's verses 25 through 37. I'm not reading all of those. I'm just picking out some of them. But listen to what Jesus says to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of His day. He says to them, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. This is Jesus, the most meek person that has ever lived. Verse 33, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? That's Jesus talking. That's Jesus talking to people. Now, that does not sound like someone who is deferring, who is going along to get along, does it? That is someone who is under God's strength and under His control. Jesus is very meek, but meekness is not weakness. Meekness is speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. And you say, well, Bo, he's just called these people snakes and vipers and all this. And who can escape from being condemned to hell? That doesn't sound like being very gentle. But listen to what he says, the very next thing he says in verse 37. He says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. Jesus longs for these people. These same hypocrites, these same people who are religious on the outside, he longs for them and says, how I wish that you would come to me, but you won't. I want you to come to me. That is being meek. That is telling the truth. But it's telling the truth in love. A meek person is not timid, but they speak the truth in love. They don't have to be in control of everything. They are willing to defer to other people. They are willing to do hard things, stay in hard places. They don't need the limelight. They don't lust for power, but they are willing to do whatever it takes to do the Lord's will, even at great personal cost to themselves. Meek people are agendaless people. They don't have an agenda. They don't have an axe to grind. They are not in a power struggle with someone else. A meek person is a person who has heard from the Lord, who has submitted himself to the Lord, and who is willing to do whatever it takes to do the Lord's will, even if that means die, even if that means standing up against intimidating people and saying, I don't care what you say, what you're doing is not godly. And if it means running me out of here, whatever. If you say that, you stand up, you do what's right, you do the Lord's will. It doesn't matter what it looks like to anybody else. You are being very meek. You are being a meek person. And a lot of people will say true love, what true love really is just accepting others the way that they are. And to tell someone they need to change, that's unloving. But you never find that in the Bible. Jesus told people all the time they needed to change. Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and told her, yeah, I understand that. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with right now, he's not your husband either. You know, I mean, he was very direct with people. Jesus would never excuse people's sin. The woman in John chapter 8 who was going to be stoned to death, Jesus told the men that were standing around, let you who is without sin be the first one to cast a stone against this lady. And they all left. And Jesus tells the woman, he says, where are your accusers? And she said, no one's here to accuse me. And Jesus says, you know, get up. I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. He never excused, oh, it's okay. Yeah, you can sleep around. That's fine. No, he never did that. Jesus would always call you on the carpet. He always calls us on the carpet in regards to our sin. But he says to us, now go and sin no more. That's what meekness is. Meekness is exercising God's strength under his control. Jesus allowed people to walk on him. Jesus allowed the Pharisees to walk on him. He allowed the Romans to beat his back and lay it open. He allowed people to crucify him and put him to death. But he allowed it. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, and believe me, in 3 days I will take it up again. Nobody does this to me unless I allow them to. That is exercising God's strength under his control. That does not mean that Jesus did not struggle, because on the night before he was crucified, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was saying this, Father, if there is any other way for the world to be saved and for me to not have to go to the cross, Lord, let it be. But then he said in his meekness, but not my will, yours be done. Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way for the world to be saved than from me having to be put to death, Lord, let it happen. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he said it a third time, and he resigned himself to going to death on a cross. That is biblical meekness. That's what it is. It's not weakness. It's not deferring. Meekness is exercising God's strength under his control. And just briefly, the end of the verse, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." You are blessed if you are a meek person. Why? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Well, what if you're meek and you obey God and you go to Saudi Arabia to be a preacher and you walk out in the streets and preach the gospel and you're gunned down and you're dead? You haven't inherited the earth, have you? I mean, yeah, God, I'll do whatever. You'll inherit the earth. What's he talking about there? He's not talking about right now, today. Well, number one, he says you will inherit. It's a later on down the road blessing. But turn just briefly to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and I'm just going to read the first, I don't know, four or five verses here. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about you will inherit the new earth. That the meek of the world, those who place themselves under his lordship, he's talking about those who are saved, will inherit the earth. You will inherit the new earth where there is no more crying, there is no more death, there is no more pain. The former things have passed away. Your reward as a Christian, as a person who comes underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ, your reward is heaven on earth. He's saying you will inherit the new earth. You will inherit the earth that is to come, that is going to be made new. And you may say here today, "Well, Bo, I'm just not a meek person. That's just not how I am." The only way to be saved is to become a meek person. God is saying, "Blessed are the Christians, because theirs will be the kingdom of theirs will be the earth. Their inheritance will be the earth." You must be a meek person. You must come underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ if you want to be saved. It's not an option. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Mike, you want to come? Folks, we live in a country that has truly been blessed. And we live in a country that enables us to come to a church like this and to hear the word preached and to hear the word sung about. And yet, with that blessing, there is a calling. There is an expectation that God calls us to. And God calls you to come to Him. God calls you to come to Him in repentance and faith. He calls you to meekness. He calls you to come underneath His lordship. He wants to bless you more than you could ever imagine. And some of you today are digging your nails into your own life, and you're afraid to let your hands go and allow God to have free reign over your life. I can tell you this: if you will let go and trust Him, you will never regret it. That does not mean there won't be hard times, but you will be amazed that in the midst of the hard times, God is right there with you, ministering to your soul, saying, I am with you. I'm better than anything this world has to offer. And what He wants from you today is your heart. He wants you to allow Him to be Lord of your life. So I invite you today, if you've never heard of the gift of salvation and you just need to talk about it some more, you're welcome to come to me during the invitation or after the church service. You can do that. Walking an aisle does not save anyone. You can, where you are in your seat, say, God, I need you. I need to be saved. I believe what this man is saying is right. And you can pray and ask Him to save you. The Bible tells us, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need to pray, whatever you need to do, if it's church membership, just do what the Lord would have you to do. Respond in the way that He would have you respond to.